All right, I want to welcome everybody to a meeting of the Fire and Emergency Services Committee. It is Tuesday, January 9th. We are beginning a little late tonight at 5:47 p.m. Meeting in the Camera Park Community Center, social room at the Camera Park Community Center. So as we call the meeting in order, General Manager, would you please call roll?
Director Eric.
Aston. Yes, I'm here.
Don Wilson is absent. And stepping in is Sid Bizet.
Present.
And then for staff, he's gone. And we have Chief Dusty Martin here.
And Chief Kellen Richards.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. So we move now to the adoption of the agenda. I know you've just gotten to see that, Director Bizet. It's a pretty straightforward agenda. I don't know if you have any questions or any.
It definitely seems out of the order. I move that we approve the agenda.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None left. So, agenda is approved 2-0. Move now to the approval of the conformed agenda from our meeting on Tuesday, December 5th. I did not find anything in the agenda out of order myself.
Since I didn't attend, I'll take your word for that. I move that we approve the conformed agenda of December 5th.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
None left to oppose. The conformed agenda is approved 2-0. We move now to open forum, where members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. Seeing members of our community here, we open forum and see if there's anything that you'd like to bring to the committee. Okay, hearing none, we now close open forum and move to department matters. First item is nomination of committee chair and vice chair. General Manager, we don't have our regular second committee member here tonight.
We have, but as the alternate, I think we go ahead and we nominate for chair, vice chair, and alternate. And just go ahead and
My only question in that is the two standing committee members, myself and Director Wolfson, would be the ones at the regular meetings. Director Wolfson is not here to either accept or decline as a matter of procedure. So would we want to hold this off until she can come to the next meeting? And as chair previously, I'm happy to run the meeting tonight. What would be your recommendation?
You're concerned, I know she's agreed to do it, but she's not agreed on the record here.
Right.
So.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So we will table department matters number 2. We'll do that in our February meeting when both standing members can be present. All right. We move now to staff reports. This is number 3, department report for December 2023. Chief Richards.
All right, good morning. So we'll start with our incident totals for the district. Did I say good morning?
Yes, you did.
I always say good morning.
Been a long day, huh?
Yep. So in the district, 0 vegetation fires and structure fires, 8 miscellaneous and auto fires, 9 vehicle accidents, 192 medicals, 2 hazardous conditions, and 30 public assists or other type incidents. Looking at our comparatives, so a slow month in November, with a 40% increase in December. The last year, 286 to 241, so a decrease from last year, and then the year-to-date totals, a decrease of 24%. Also have to take into consideration that the ambulance move-ups were included, so as we move through the year, you're gonna see kind of that kind of stabilize as we kind of transition into that time when we got the medic unit gone. I can go and manually sort, but you're sorting through line by line hundreds of incidents.
Could you explain that differently? I'm not quite following that.
So there's a little, the ambulance that we
this
have,
moved down to
when a call for a move up and cover, so right. Like an other type incident in the total amount of incidents, that would generate an incident number. And so, now that we don't have the ambulance, there's no more move-ups to Station 89. The move-ups are now to Station 28, Station 86, so it's reduced the amount of calls.
Okay.
So
that makes sense, though. Okay, thank you.
Which makes it challenging to compare year to year at this point, because last year's included all of that, so it's going to take a year to cycle that out for true actuals. Okay.
As we move down, rental income unchanged. There's been no more rental income since the utilities were on the incident for memorial service this summer. Our apparatus maintenance has been updated. We just got back engine 388, had regular repairs that were needed, and also engine 288. And so that's brought us up to a total of 46,749. You also see a mechanic time that was added in there of 1561. Mechanic time for the Cal Fire mechanics over the summertime was consolidated into the second quarter billing, and so we add that in, so that's going to capture maintenance or mechanic time from over the summer. So operations report. So on January 1st, Cal Fire BC with engine 88, engine 89, engine 28, medic 28 were dispatched to a traffic collision involving a vehicle that had impacted a structure. When they arrived, they determined that a pickup truck had rolled down the top of the driveway and collided with the front of the deck in the house. There was significant damage to the pickup truck and the deck, however, there was no injuries. And that was passed over to the California Highway Patrol for the investigation. And on December 28th, six firefighter ones from Cal Fire were recently laid off. They completed their onboarding as intern firefighters with the fire department here. They bring valuable experience and training to the community. They have their basic training is already taken care of. With the exception of them working here, you know, we had folks coming from like academies that were fresh out of the academy that had no experience. These folks have already been through academies, already been kind of working in the system, so they kind of come in a little bit more turnkey to provide that extra layer of support.
Is there a requirement they have to put in so many hours? Or are they getting college credits or what?
Yeah, that's a great question. They do have a minimum requirement, so they're required to do one 24-hour shift a week. So the six of them cover 6 days in a month, every week. So they'll work, you know, Monday 1 week, Monday the next week, Monday the next week, and then someone will be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they can switch. On January 3rd, the El Dorado County OES office delivered multiple yards of sand and sandbags to Station 89. So this is going to be available for the public for assistance for rain and flood events. It's a self-service sand is self-service, and it's available 24 hours a day. The Station 89 staff are developing a traffic plan with signage. That way, when the folks come in, when the public are going to enter here, park here, exit here. Last year during the flood events, there was a little bit of mayhem with, we had a line across the apparatus, you know, the front of the driveway, and then obviously they're blocking emergency access. So that was kind of a really last minute thing. So we're getting kind of learn from that, making a plan for a traffic plan. So
question on that item, how are we advertising that this is available to the community? Where's that known?
The Office of Emergency Services, the County Sheriff's Department. So we are just a, we are a site for them, but it all runs through El Dorado County OES. So they supply the sand, they supply the sandbags. They are messaging it out to the public through their normal system that right now we've got Station 89 and Station 85 as sandbag locations. And if the need arises, they'll add more, but they're doing all the messaging on that.
Okay, thanks for that.
Having used sandbags in floods before, as administration, how much are people able to get with the station like this? And you know, how much does it take around here to give them an effective block?
So we, Cameron Park's been very prone to flooding, so the first rainfall in October, we started having residents come into the station looking for sand and sandbags. When we get a major storm and we start seeing the flooding issues, a lot of times we'll move one of our Cal Fire crews into Station 89. They will be building sandbags, and folks are taking them right as we're building them, just to make that process a little more efficient. But we won't employ that until we actually do have the emergencies. It really becomes the catch-22 for the county, because it's a cost to the county to provide the sand and the sandbags, and people get a little bit of rain, they want to go get sandbags, and then now they've got broken sandbags, and we don't have them when there's a need. But the December 31st floods of last year, we weren't necessarily as prepared as we should have been. We didn't have sand at Cameron Park. We didn't have sand at some locations, and we were behind the eight ball in that aspect. So OES is getting ahead of it this year and made sure that we had supplies and we're ready to go. But we really want to let them continue to message that, because that falls underneath them.
Do people here reinforce with Visqueen?
Probably not.
And so just to clarify, all of that activity is at the direction of OES.
Correct.
And activated by them.
Correct.
We are just a station, kind of like
right.
We are for an evacuation center. Mm-hmm. County yeah. activates that, but it's run and messaged by them.
Okay. We had a long discussion. We talked with Mike Grassley, talked with Jill, see if there were some other options other than the fire station to put it, because we had some significant asphalt damage last year from it at the fire station. The problem is of trying to retrain the public to go to a different place when it's been at Station 89 for the last 20 years is not going to happen in the time of emergency. And the other piece of that is OES is wanting someone at the facility, so we're not waiting until we're completely out of sand and then making a call like, hey, our sand pile's down 50%, and then they'll get another sand truck coming so they can stay ahead of it, versus if we put it at Kristen McCullough Park or something like that,
there's nobody
there. Monitoring it and being able to stay ahead. So that's why we ended up leaving it at Station 89. We just put in a little different location than we had it last year.
Is the asphalt damage from shovels?
No, the asphalt damage was from the vehicle traffic and sand trucks.
Oh, can you wait?
Coupled with the saturation of the ground. The ground was so saturated that, you know, underneath the asphalt lost stability.
Yeah.
You had, 100 vehicles through there with.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
So moving on December 8th through the 10th, we had the Santa Parade. We just wanted to express our gratitude to the public for their enthusiastic participation. The event provided the fire department and the CSD a valuable opportunity to engage with a majority of the community in Cameron Park. So, you know, we estimate that, you know, we get to see your vision, you know, drive by and interact with, even if it's just a wave or make an eye contact with, you know, majority, 70 to 90% of the community, with the way that the map and the route is kind of drawn out. It captures, you know, most of, I don't know, what do you think, 80% of the survey. We avoid some of the small ports and things like that, but those folks usually come out to the intersections and cover a lot of areas. So I would say, you know, probably the most engagement that I've seen in a Santa Parade by the public. I don't know if it was just this time of year or what, maybe more families moving in, but there was a lot more engagement from the community.
I think our demographics are changing in our community. We're getting a lot of younger families.
Yep.
Yeah.
People just want something fun.
That as well. Even old folks do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the end of that report. To move on to prevention.
So with that, unless there's any other questions on the December report, we'll move on to item number 3, the fire prevention update for December.
So pretty light report. We have our inspection hours violation and corrected violations of 3228. We did have a meeting with CSG Consulting as kind of a check-in and workflow meeting. During the meeting, we kind of streamlined our plans to handle inspection intake requests. Originally, when we first started this, we had utilized CSG for the point of contact for a lot of these inspection requests. And what we found is, you know, these inspection requests take more interrogation that they didn't really have the institutional knowledge or bandwidth to handle. So a lot of the times it's, well, this actually is a business inspection. This is a community care licensing required inspection, or this is a business or a vacation home rental, or this requires a permit, or this is an alteration. And so we have brought that back in with the administrative assistant that's been doing fantastic of really divide or kind of having that first contact and saying, okay, what do you really need, right? And they have that at other departments of the county of, you know, hey, what are you here for, right? Like the DMV, okay, nope, you're going to go see this person, you're going to see that person. So that's helped a lot. We've taken a lot of that communication out of the third party's hands, and we're giving them more tasks and dates of, hey, this is what we need, this is when we need it, and they're able to do those skills, which is kind of what we hired them to do with that specialty, and not really be the liaison between the public and the fire department. So that's helped. We've also set up recurring meetings every 4 to 6 weeks so we can bring up any issues, workflow stuff that we're seeing, and I think we found a lot of efficiencies, and we're seeing a lot more good communication of, you know, single point and how we, even just down to how we email, right? When they send us an email of an inspection that's been completed, having the address and the word, you know, inspection completed in the
subject,
in the subject right line. So, you know, and kind of a naming convention that can kind of help us organize, move from there. So it's been working good. We have been paring down the amount of business inspections that CSG is performing, and we're kind of shifting with having our engine companies engage in it. Gives a little bit, our scheduling's a little easier, and we're able to engage our folks on the engine to be out in the community and doing some of that stuff. And there's value in that, too. They're able to get into some of these businesses that they're responsible for responding to medical and fire emergencies, so it gets them to
familiar with the facilities, yep, and all that.
Exactly,
okay.
Start engaging. And yeah, good stuff. One thing that did come out of that meeting is, so our state mandated and state regulated occupancy inspections that we have to perform annually. Mm-hmm. I've asked for an accounting of how, you know, like a spreadsheet of this is what we've done, this is in progress, kind of to show us like where are we at for work, you know, this time of year. And they're going to be getting that to me at the end of January, and then I'm going to request that every month. I can integrate that into this report, which I think would be nice. Doing a little bit of education and background, the board, by resolution annually in June, has to report, or has to have a resolution of how many state-regulated occupancies we have, how many have we done, and it's just documented at the local level. It doesn't need to be reported to the state fire marshal's office. Certain occupancies do. The only ones that you have to do are high-rises and jails, which we do not have either of. So it's all internal reporting, and it's just kind of a checks and balances and a requirement for us locally. So that'll be coming in June. I have a draft resolution I'll be working with the general manager on as a plug and play.
Wonderful.
And then that will come around every year.
Wonderful. And I appreciate having that added in the report too, to monitor that. One question I will ask in that is, we had a timeline that we were doing this as a test with CSG. Where are we at in that timeline to know, are we going to continue with the allocation of funds for this versus the role that we had staffed before? Can you give me a little update?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it was finance-based, not time-based, but just to kind of see how things are working, I would say I'm pretty neutral on whether it's going to be that company in particular is going to be a good long-term vendor.
Okay.
We're below 5,000 out of the 25,000. They had some billing issues where they were consolidating bills and sending them to us after the fact. That's another thing that we've kind of cleaned up with them, of saying, hey, we need to know an accounting for each individual, not just a lump sum. Hey, 20 hours of inspections. Well, where do those inspections come from?
Yeah, they need to be assigned.
I need to have it assigned in accounting. So they're still working on that. I haven't been able to reconcile. They have not got us all of the billing documents from November or December yet.
Okay, but if we've only used 5,000 out of 25 allocated, because I think I thought we talked about a three or four month.
We did talk about a 3 to 4 month time frame to evaluate. I think some of the challenges, and we met with Alan recently, and we're moving forward with a computerized software, being able to do our inspections. Right now, we're still doing them on a triplicate form and having to hand write them. Some of the challenges are the continuity between Callan, in CSG. So once the new software company comes in, they'll have access to it. Everything will be trackable, and we'll actually be in the 20th century and not handling paper and trying to file it. And so it'll be easier for them to submit the inspection and be done, along with us being able to track kind of some of their progress. So yeah, you know, when we talk about neutral, I think some of it's hard because we're asking them to do an archaic process and fall into our process with paper copies and going out and then having to bring them by the fire station. And so I think once we'd be able to get the new program up and running and really see those efficiencies, then I would say we would have a much better idea of, you know, just taking the state regulated inspections off of the Callan and his staff is a huge workload when you look at the numbers there alone. With having our part-time employee, one of the things we're realizing is that some of these things we can pull back a little bit and have a little more hands-on because we've got our part-time employee to be able to track some of these, and that helps out. So I think you give us another couple months, we'll have a little different opinion for you.
Okay. And recognizing that we've hardly dipped into what we had allocated for that tells me we've got more time to work with it. I was just...
You do, if you look, kind of, we back up some of the complex commercial plan reviews, fire alarm and sprinklers were done by InterWest Consulting for plan review.
Mm-hmm.
We've continued to have them follow up with the inspections for those since they have an intimate knowledge of that project. Instead of having one vendor had done the review on it, now a new vendor's coming in, doesn't have access to any of those records.
Right.
And those are kind of getting phased out as CSG's now doing plan reviews. So we'll be using them more as they catch up to the inspections that are required from the reviews that they've completed.
Okay. And what I'm going to ask is out of consideration for Director Bazette, is there anything else on the fire prevention that you wanted to report?
Nope.
Okay, I'd like to move towards staff report item number 5 because that's something that we do need to make a decision to be able to forward to board and then be able to release Director Bazette because the rest of anything that we do doesn't require action or votes. So. So number 5 is the fire department fees for service. This is returning to us from last month. Board sent it back. As far as I know, and I'll just leave this if that's okay. As far as I know, nothing has changed in the report or in the fee schedule. The report is the same. I think the only thing that this came back with was just a little clarification was needed for the board. As well as this was brought forward to the board as a package with fees and rates from Parks and Rec, and there are a few things, and I think it would be better for the board to handle those items separately. So the only question that came to me from other board members was simply on the fee schedule.
Okay.
And a couple things in particular, and it might just be clarification. Most of what's here is pretty clear in terms of if there's a set number of hours for a task, it's at the rate of 234, which is detailed how we got to that on the prior page. There are a few things, for instance, like the general plan review is at 234. Expedited plan review is double that. And that's simply because it takes more staff to pull that off. So 1 hour is equal to 2 staff, or is that how we're billing it?
Expedited is they go to the front of the line for the plan review, so we don't have the normal processing time. Everything kind of stops, and then that gets... We're spending more time on
so
that.
So there's a double charge on that,
yep.
and that explains that.
Industry standard across the board.
Accessory inspections the same?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's still on a number of hours, though. So that's not a flat rate. You plug
right,
the
but it'd
hours.
Be 468 per hour because of kind of the double staffing that it requires to do that. The only other one that I can see is the firewatch services under miscellaneous fees. So that's... I think it's anything that breaks the pattern of 234 an hour, whether that's a variable hour or a set number of hours, 2 or 3. So on the firewatch services, it's 344 an hour. Is that because there's apparatus involved?
Yeah, and so what we did is I took the metric, the percentage of the increase from the current, the 165 to 234,
mm-hmm.
I took that percentage, and anything that was like your, you know, 14 cents for a 10 improvement, that was 9 cents. And I used that same percentage factor. And so it was an equal increase by percentage.
Okay. And then same thing on firewatch services for one staffed utility. Okay, the only other piece would be on items like incident report, inspection report, digital photographs. Mm-hmm. Might be worth noting in there per copy or each.
Okay.
Because all of these others, you know, you see number of heads, it's $1.40, that makes sense. An incident report is $14. Just copy or each. Maybe we can add that to it for clarification.
Okay.
File search, is that just a $7 flat fee to look for something?
Yeah, and so a lot of these I don't use.
Okay.
This was a direct copy of what was put before I came. So I did not change any of the verbiage, just changed the costs. You know, our incident report request, that goes through a Public Records Act request from CAL FIRE, so we don't even actually exercise that. I haven't used any of those basic fees, $7, $14, or any of those. I've never actually used them.
Okay. So it might be helpful in reporting this back to the board again, perhaps if we, I don't know if it needs to go in the report, but if we had the 2019 fee schedule available for the board to have as a comparison, if they need to see that. I don't know if there were any other questions that might be relevant to this.
It's been a while since I looked at it, so
no, okay. The question from both of them is resolved in my mind by having the alternate outside consultant opportunity for residents, because there was a concern about the amount.
You mean the AP Triton you're talking about?
What?
No, it's in this, they have the opportunity to hire a separate consultant on their own, fee, but there's an administrative fee because we still have to process the information into our system and all that.
You know, I pulled your package on how you do all your fees and provided it to the two directors that were concerned, and additionally noted that you hadn't raised fees since 19, and so you're picking up 3-4 years of fees at one time.
So with that, we'll open it up for any public comment or question on this item. Seeing none, we'll close public comment, and it comes back to committee. Are we okay to forward this back to the board for approval?
I'm in agreement, yes.
Okay, wonderful. So that's staff report and item number 5, and Director Bazette, that is the only other thing that...
Okay, are we going to adjourn, or are we
going to... No, you can just leave. We'll finish up business. Thank you so much for jumping in.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. So we move now to items for future committee and agendas. Anything from staff? We talked about bringing forward the reports on list of structures and buildings that we're going to be moving through so that we can see how that's progressing with CSG. We no longer have ambulance, so we don't have any of those kind of reports to add to this for future. One thing I did want to ask, because it just came up for me today, is the Wildfire Prevention Grant Program that CAL FIRE does every year. The deadline for this current year is tomorrow, so obviously that. But I'm wondering if we should put that on a calendar for discussion so that we can revisit that for next year.
I really think the avenue, a good avenue for that is to partner with the El Dorado County Fire Safe Council. They are extremely successful in picking up multiple grants. When you look at writing the grants and some of those things,
mm-hmm.
we have our Cameron Park Fire Safe Council chapter, but I think it might not be a bad thing to get Ken Pemlot or one of the folks that run the El Dorado County Fire Safe Council parent chapter to mm-hmm. maybe come into one of the fire and emergency services meeting and speak about the grants and what are the opportunities to partner with them on some of that, because they have the expertise and they are getting these every year for all over the county. And so when we look at Cameron Park specific, is there an opportunity to use their expertise and the folks that have written these grants and gotten them
mm-hmm.
year after year to partner with the district to get some of that and look at a specific project, and Ken would be a pretty valuable asset to bring in, and I know he'd be willing to come in and speak.
That's a great idea.
And I know they like to try to coordinate those. There's a huge effort to coordinate when those grants are awarded of how they're going to tie those in together, because there's a lot of competing form, and then there was no coordination. They're like, hey, if we can all just kind of collaborate and then single point order, and then we can have a duplication of efforts.
Ken Pimlott. Pimlott, P-I-M-L-O-T-T?
Yep. He failed at retirement. He was the prior CAL FIRE director prior to Chief Tyler, and couldn't sit at home, and he is highly engaged in the county.
Yes, he is. He ran for supervisor a couple cycles ago, and yeah, all that. That's great. That's wonderful, because the CCI grant that we had previously was huge for our district in getting the weed abatement system program going, so would love to revisit those. I know we have to wait to be eligible again, but okay.
Yeah, for my note, I also will be talking. My neighbor is one of the senior people in OES that does the emergency evacuations and finding stuff, and I asked her what she might be able to do to help us, and after her sister gets married in the middle of the month, she said she'd sit down with me and see if, what she could suggest.
Yeah, perfect.
That's great.
Okay. Anything else for future committee agendas beyond the norm at this point?
Not that I know of.
I'm guessing that when it happens, we'll hear on surplusing our type 3. When that happens, we'll just get a report back on it.
Yep, so we got to work with Alan on that. We put out a couple of questions to Christina and Mike Grassley, because this is a new process for both Cal and I. I can tell you that we did not follow the process the fire department said the last time we sold a fire engine. They just went out and sold it to someone, so I know the district has a policy.
Can't do that, yeah.
and a procedure, so the engine is ready. It's stripped, the equipment off of it that we needed.
Okay.
The decals are off of it. It is 100% ready to go get sold. We just got to let Alan catch his breath so we can put it up for auction and be gone.
Somebody in the industry that you know that can give us an appraisal so that we have some idea of what it might be worth? And I will tell you, who knows, because a Bronco that was worth $2,000-$3,000 just sold for $16,000. So
Cal and I have done a bunch of research on a couple of different fire truck trader sites and that, and we'll sit down with you on some of the research and the sites that we've looked at. A lot of it, like you said, is the eye of the beholder. It is a low mileage for that year, but it is a 1996 fire engine that you can't get parts for. So we found one comp that would be comparable to it. I think it was a couple of years older, or a couple of years newer, but it was the closest we could find on a couple of different sites our fleet manager gave us to go look at. So. We'll get together with Alan.
Hobbyist likes doing his own machining.
Yeah. Someone would like it.
Yeah.
No, somebody would like it.
True.
This is true.
So we're ready. We just got to get through the district process on that.
Great.
Once you write it up, we'll. It's got to go to the board because it's over $5,000, undoubtedly.
So the board approved the.
The board actually approved something like that. We're surplusing, and then it goes out to bid or to auction.
So the board did approve it.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Yes, we did.
It's already been approved.
It's already been approved.
At board meeting, we got it approved. We used it for Santa Parade and then decommissioned it.
And decommissioned
a couple of days after that.
Well, if the board approved it, then we're ready to proceed as soon as you are. We just have to find out where and
we're ready.
Where we can get the best deal.
So we'll work with Alan on that here in the next couple of weeks. Be nice to free up the apparatus space.
Okay. Well, not hearing or seeing any other items for us to bring forward to future agendas. We move now to matters to and from committee members and staff. We've got the report, and if there's anything else to report from staff other than what you've given us.
So the only other thing I got to report is, as you all know, Eschaton, 3421 Palmer Drive, has been a hot spot of calls for us for quite so many years.
Mm-hmm.
Within the last 2 weeks, they have shut the doors down.
So it's no longer in operation.
Wow.
And they've, all the residents out of there have moved out, so they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with that. So CAL FIRE's been in contact with the Eschaton, and we're looking at seeing if we could move our firefighter hand crew program into that building for an interim for the next 3 to 5 years and until we can get a permanent home established for them.
Is it really? Weird?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which would be pretty awesome for the community. So we're slowly going through the hoops with the Eschaton on that one. Challenge of sleeping 100 firefighters and finding a place that the state fire marshal's office will approve for 100 people to sleep is tough. But well, being that it was a residential care facility,
they approved it for seniors. They better approve it for
The other challenge is, how do you feed 100 plus firefighters? And there's a kitchen in there, so it it really meets a lot of the boxes. It's just a matter of what the Eschaton group wants to do. But the state's Department of General Services has been in contact with the Eschaton and see what our options are. So more to follow on that, but. On the day-to-day fire department side here, it will be a decrease in frequency of calls at that location. So see what happens moving forward.
Thanks for reporting that. That's a shift.
Yeah. That's
little a history shift. Lesson. That building used to be the Arnold Palmer Golf Academy.
It was the Palmer House.
Really?
So people would fly in Camp Park Airport, and they would put their children as students in the Arnold Palmer Golf Academy, and they would stay. There was a driving range where the Bel Air is, and then they would play at the Camp Park Country Club.
Hence Palmer Drive.
It's on Palmer Drive.
Okay.
And that was in the 60s, 70s, and then I think, I don't know what, 90s, it was purchased by Eschaton. They made it a care facility.
Care facility. Okay.
Huh. It was called the Palmer House.
Interesting. That's great. Anything else from fire staff or from, okay.
I was at the Board of Supes today and I listened to the annexation proceeding for Meeks and North Tahoe. And they did come up with more money for the process. And it was very interesting to listen to the byplay. And what the individual members didn't like. I will say I thought the fire folks made a very nice presentation, very strong.
Well, that's good news for us.
I think that process has been going on for almost 8 years now.
Yes, I know, and they mentioned that.
Yes. Well, the only piece in my report is a slight reiteration of what I said in December, which was I got to participate in the Santa Parade and just add to my appreciation for our fire staff and for all you all, and just loved doing that. That was so fun. Thank you again.
Thanks
for the invitation to do that.
You're the light guy. You held the light.
I held the light. I got to make Santa glow, man. Yep. So that was a lot of fun. Really appreciate getting to do that. All right. So unless there's anything else, we move now to adjournments. As the only member of the committee at the table, I both motion and approve adjournments. We will adjourn at 6:25 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
You bet. We will have.